Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in Philippians 2, kind of verse 1.
We kind of moved.
Hard for
me
to remember
all this. Only took us 3 months to get through one.
You know, and something that struck me is, you know, we kind of forget the Holy Spirit indwelling in us and how much He does for us, and He comforts us and loves us. And when we're going through the cancers or the illnesses or the losses, He's our comforter and He brings us peace. And then we were also talking about journals and thankful journals, and I said, what a great thing to do would be maybe write a journal or start a journal on God moments, because, boy, they're all around us all the time, and we kind of forget what He's done for us.
And I think that's Paul's challenge to the people. Yeah. You know, it's very easy when your leader is in prison and imminent death is coming, and for us to stop looking to see God because we're focused on the one we love.
Right.
And He's wanting them to see Him. Go ahead, Tanya.
My last 6 months when I was at the mission discipling the woman in the New Life Recovery Program, I had kept a journal because I'm like, God, I see miracles happening here every day. People set free from drug addiction, from just lies that have ruled in their mind, even from court cases and things that they're working through and trying to get their kids back. And I remember filling up probably almost an entire journal of things like people whose charges were like completely dropped when they were expecting years in prison. Like, oh, just so much.
And those are God moments.
Right. And then we would just have the eyes to see all those miracles happening in and around us every day and write them and give them the praise where praise needs
to be
given.
We've been praying for people in our fellowship group, and oh my goodness, He's just been answering those prayers left and right.
Amazing.
It's amazing what He's done in our group. Mm-hmm.
It's important to pay attention, and Paul's wanting them to pay attention.
And thank Him.
So let's look at what Paul has to say. So let's have Janelle read for us this time Philippians 2, 1 through 4 for our opening.
Okay. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Look not to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others.
God is good. Okay, so we're looking at any encouragement is the mutual dwelling with Christ. The dwelling, He's our dwelling place. The comfort is His love. It comes through Christ, and that we are commanded to love one another as He has loved us. And then we looked at the fellowship of the Spirit, recognizing that the Spirit is the counselor that we've been given, and that fellowship we have in Him is what then enables us to do the love. But I wanted us to read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Tanya, would you open that up? And we're going to look at what Scripture has to say about our body and the Spirit in our body.
19 and 20.
Yeah, chapter 6.
So it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
So the Spirit is in us. And we ended last time, David Guzik has this quote, think of the Holy Spirit as the doctor and Jesus as the medicine. So the Holy Spirit is the comforter that comes, and Jesus' love is the medicine that brings the healing. Okay.
Yeah.
And so having that in our hearts as we're thinking through and recognizing that this comes from the mutual dwelling of Christ in us and Him at work in us. So the last one, at first I was kind of confused. I'm like, okay, we're going back and we're repeating. So is he just trying to emphasize the compassion and the comfort that overflows? But then it dawned on me, it's like, oh, wait. This is our participation of what's happening. So when he says to us, we should have any tenderness or mercies or any tender or compassion. Do you guys have it written in different ways in your translations?
Affection
and compassion.
Okay, affection and compassion. I wrote out in my journal, I was like, God, well, what does this look like? I mean, honestly, what does this look like? And why is this critical? And this is the point where we have to understand, we began in the first week talking about how joy must come from the Word of God. That literally the Word of God overflowing out. And so the command to love, and as we choose to have love, and I'm thinking of the verse, you know, when Jesus looks out at the crowds and says that he saw that they were harassed and hassled, mm-hmm. and he had compassion on them. Mm-hmm. That is what's happening here. But it's the challenge to us to be the one that has the tender mercies, the affection, the compassion, allowing that we see the people and we allow the overflow from the depths of our bowels. Scripture refers to the bowels as the places, the seat of the emotion, mm-hmm. where it moves out in behalf of the people for them to have what they can have in Christ. And so this tenderness is the Greek word splanchna, and I'm not pronouncing it right, but it's C-H-A-N-A. So splanchna, I don't know how to say it, but I'm butchering
it. A little German.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. And so the gift of the Spirit in us is what produces this ability in us, and because it's a fruit of him, and it is the reality of unity being made known. So last time when Adriana was sharing about how the church came and she just felt the comfort of his love when their family was going through a difficult time of a child being sent back into the foster care system, they so surrounded them that they felt the tender mercies mm-hmm. overflow. Mm-hmm. And then that builds the unity of the body. Okay, so when I, like, if I could, the commentators refer to these as the four, but then I started last time and I shared this, what it looked like to me is like the dwelling of Christ in us, the encouragement of that, and then the love of Christ, and then the Holy Spirit's fellowship, and then us pouring out those into the body. So kind of to sum it up, did you guys have any thoughts you wanted to add to those?
I was just thinking that, like, the reason that it's easier to love one another when we have the Spirit of God in us is because, you know, when Jesus says love one another as yourself, that's what we're doing, because the same Spirit that's in me is in you, and I'm loving myself, I'm loving the same thing that indwells me and makes me who I am. I see that same thing in you, and I see it influencing your actions and your life and the way that you choose to live. And I can love that because I understand it. I resonate with it. It gives me fellowship with you and mm-hmm. makes me able to have that connection.
Mm, it is good. And that love of myself, we'll see in a second, he's going to challenge us not to have that become a part of us. Mm-hmm. And that not the pride of love of self, but what Janelle is talking about is the pure love of, I am created in the image of God. And he made me in his image, therefore I have worth and value. Right. And I think of when we were in Guatemala, and I think I may have said this at the last time we did the recording, when I was talking to our interpreter, Kailin, I asked him, I said, what do the youth need the most here? And he said, they don't know that they're loved. Mm. They don't know that they are lovable. They don't know that they are worthy of love, because they culturally have only seen and heard they are unworthy. And so for them to break through so that they could see that they are worthy of love because of how they were created and who they were created by. And so a foundational truth that they have to begin with everything they do, they have to begin with God Creator and how they were created in his image. Yeah. Because of that. So perfect segue for what Janelle just shared. So here's the question we want to answer. What threatens unity? Just list out everything you can think of. What threatens unity?
The enemy, deception. The enemies of the enemy.
Pride.
Jealousy. Oh,
yeah. Ambition.
Oh, yeah.
Gossiping. There's so many
insecurity.
Going on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fear.
Being threatened by each other. Yeah.
Fear.
Yeah.
Control. Manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Comparison.
Uh-huh. That's a big one. Mm.
And the list is so long.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go through and we could, the list, honestly, I made a list, and I think on another section, I have made a really long list. And it's like, you know, I think I could just stop, because honestly, anybody listening, you know what the disunity, how unity is broken where you're at. And the crazy thing is when you're in unity, it's hard when you get placed into a situation where there's disunity. Mm-hmm. When you live or operate in your family unit with unity, and then you are placed within another circumstance, maybe another part of your family, and then all of a sudden the disunity hits and you just kind of go,
what happened?
Where did that come from? Why is that here? That's not what we should be looking at or dealing with, and it grieves you. It's funny, I was in a circumstance recently and I felt a unity breaker happening, and I didn't know I was so visual about my behavior, but it kind of rocked me, and I, without thinking, I just did what I don't know, I closed my eyes and I was praying. And I had no idea. I'm like in a room of many, many, many people. And like a week later, somebody's like, yeah, I saw you immediately closed your eyes and started praying. I knew you were dealing with it. I'm like, yeah, is that obvious? And somebody across the room that I think was behind me could tell what I was doing. Wow. We have to be willing to do that when the unity happens. To, it just makes me cry to be the one that says, okay, we got to get back into the dwelling in Christ. Mm-hmm. This is the body.
Right.
Let's dwell with Christ. Let's let the love and the Spirit of God, right, so that we can allow His tender mercies to be evident in us, and having that happen.
Because we have to go to those places, mm-hmm, right? It's not always going to be peaceful and the same.
Mm-mm. Right.
God's called us to take His gospel to the ends of the earth.
That's right.
Or even in your own city. But yeah, we have to be able to leave our comfort, be encouraged, but then go.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And He gives us two words, selfish ambition and vainglory. Mm. Some translators said pride and prestige would be the two words that could sum them up.
Right.
So selfish ambition. How would you guys define that? What would you say?
Putting others down so that you can gain. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Something motivated completely for your own gain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I view it like the opposite of good leadership. You know, leadership, the best example is when you empower others to be greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. Ambition is the opposite, when you condemn others around you so that you are greater.
Mm. Or look greater, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a definition? Are you good?
I agree with what they were saying.
Mm-hmm. That's good. The desire to promote self is the formal definition that they used. And then the concentration on self means elimination of others. And the object of life becomes not to help others, but to push them down. Mm-hmm. And I just, this visual of somebody just, you know, so that I can, and so if I keep that visual in my head, and you guys on radio can't see what I'm doing, but I'm kind of slouching, and then I push my hand down as I sit up straight as if I'm pushing somebody down, you know, thinking through what my words and my body language and the visual cues, how I communicate, if it causes somebody else to go less, then it's not right.
Right.
And some authors would say, you know, it doesn't do any good to make your light brighter if you cause somebody else's light to dim. Mm-hmm. The awesome thing is about the body of Christ, and Christmas time at our church, we always do Silent Night as the closing song for the Christmas service. And starts with Pastor Kurt's candle, and then we pass the light all the way around. And I love the moment. This is so crazy, you guys. This is one of those things that for me is a very sentimental moment. Mm-hmm. When the two candles come together, and one has no flame and one has the flame, and they come together, and as they touch and they ignite, the flame gets larger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It grows as the two become one in the flame. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is so beautiful and symbolic of what really is meant to happen. He wants us to so unite that that light increases, and not to have the break and the unity. The word vainglory, vainglory, what would you say? How would y'all define that?
Vainglory?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's conceit, you know, however. What would you?
How many times in a day you use the word I?
That's good. I think it's when you want the credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not your credit, too. It's the Lord's.
Right.
Yeah, I think Barclay, the commentator, he's like, how many of us could actually say we do anything where it does not come out of selfish ambition or vainglory?
Yeah.
That, like, if we really honestly did a self-check, there's always an inkling of something there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I could say that true to myself.
Me too.
Kindoxia is the word in Greek, and it's empty pride or a hollow parade.
Oh, that's good.
And literally a parade that has no value.
It's like, wow.
It's kind of like the pity parties, and you send out invitations and nobody comes. just yourself.
That's the thing about selfishness, is both pride and self-pity are both selfishness. It's both drawing everyone else's attention to be on yourself.
That's so good.
And I like that it also kind of has that sense of pointlessness, too, because it's not just like the standard, oh, hey, I'm trying to get glory. It's like vainglory that's not going to last. It's not based in God. It's not His glory. And so it's pointless.
Right.
Yeah. You will always seek more of that.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, the peacock parading.
Yeah.
Just whatever it is that we're going to do that's going to cause us to lift up. And so they're kind of similar, but they're different. But one is a promotion of self, and the other is a promotion of self, but one is actually robbing God of glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ultimately, Jesus' prayer in John 17 talks about that he, the Father, gave him the glory, and then he gave the glory, and we're giving the glory, and he's giving the glory back. And so it is all about the glory being made known for the Father, mm-hmm. and having that glory be made known, getting the focus back on him. And so this is a good thing. All right, so we've looked at so much. We've looked at what's threatened our unity, and it's the selfish ambition of vainglory. I think it's interesting that of all the words and descriptions that could have been used that we gave, these are the two. And if we get to the heart of all of the ones that we listed, these are the two that are the core behind them.
Yeah.
And that it's also what caused Satan to cause division and to leave the throne of heaven and take a third of the angels with him. Probably because of the selfish ambition and the vainglory. He wanted what Christ was getting. So you need to come back, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at how to prevent this disunity and this disharmony. God bless.